Just from the midterm standpoint, so I operate my business out of Grand Rapids, Michigan, so second largest city in Michigan. And there are, you talk about industry, and we got Amazon, we got hospitals, we've got a ton of different businesses that are just worldwide companies that are in little old Grand Rapids, Michigan. So the midterm market here is growing very quickly, and we're seeing a lot more demand here in the greater Grand Rapids area for midterm. So if you're looking specifically for midterm rentals, this is a great market. Prices are affordable compared to a lot of the other mid-sized markets in the U.S.
Welcome to the Landlord Diaries, where we talk about midterm rentals and the opportunities behind them. We'll share landlord stories, talk about maximizing investment potential, and discuss how to live the very best landlord life. This podcast is proudly brought to you by Furnished Finder, the leader and largest online marketplace for midterm rentals. Remember to like and subscribe if you enjoy our content.
Hey guys, it's Kelly Bailey, your host of the Landlord Diaries. I'm here with my co-host and marketing director, Katie Lyon, and we hit a Michigan episode today. So excited about that. Katie, what did you gather from Tony and Jordan today?
Tony and Jordan were so great to talk to. They're very savvy investors, and they actually have a property management company as well to help other investors. What they do exceptionally well is marrying the short-term and the midterm world, which I think is, you know, it's a hot topic right now. It's a great strategy because the inventory of short-term rentals is so high. Some people are experiencing a slowdown and they're looking for an alternate for the off season, or maybe if they just kind of want a break sometimes too. That short-term rental world is grueling. So really great one, especially if you're interested in marrying the two or just learning about kind of how to market your property in more of these destination markets. So we hope you enjoy, and don't forget to please comment and share with a friend if you're enjoying the content.
Tony Stancato and Jordan Painter have created Book and Gather, a Michigan Lakeshore vacation rental company and a complimentary educational platform at MichiganShortTermRentals.com, which has a podcast, blog, and more. These guys have a very successful vacation rental business year-round by combining the short-term and midterm rental strategies. Thanks, guys, for being here. How are you today?
Doing very well. Thank you for having us. We're excited to be on today.
Yeah, doing good. Thank you.
Awesome. You're welcome. Well, let's start off with you two have started your own company, Book and Gather. So how did you two meet and get started as real estate partners?
Yeah, I'll take this one. So Tony and I have known each other for probably over a decade. We originally met, we went to church together. And I've been a real estate broker and agent for a number of years. And I heard him whisper he was going to be looking to sell a house. And so I latched onto him back then, and I was able to help he and his wife at the time sell their first house. And then subsequently have worked with the both of them a couple of times on the real estate side. And through that relationship, we just kind of developed a friendship. He ended up actually at one point purchased a house across the street from me. And so we just continued to always bounce ideas off of each other. And Tony is a self-starter, and he's always got a million ideas going in his head. And so at one point, we actually had a business doing some website flipping and some other things. And through that process, we started talking about kind of lifestyle business and how we could use our business to support our lifestyle. And we both love to travel. Our families love to travel. So we started talking about, you know, what does it look like to purchase a vacation rental so that we can write off travel? And so that's kind of where we started, was, hey, let's buy a house together and have a cool place our families can go. And so ironically, I don't know if Tony's family ever stayed at our first one that we bought. I think we stayed there once or twice. And so we kind of used that as a springboard to start the management business. And I think really what happened was we realized how hard it was to manage short-term rental. And we thought we can't be the only two idiots that thought they were going to just buy a house and self-manage. And so through that, we built the systems and the processes and created Book and Gatherer, which is the property management company that we operate. And so Tony has been the main driver in that business. And he also is now a licensed realtor. So he's able to service our clients on both sides of it. So that's the short version. Tony, I don't know if you want to add something to that.
Yeah, I'd just say initially we thought we would buy somewhere when we were talking about a lifestyle business. We were going to buy a place down in Tennessee or Florida, and the numbers just didn't really make sense. So then we decided to start looking around in Michigan. And then the first place we bought was like an hour from my house. So in terms of like traveling and vacation in there, just didn't have the same appeal as, you know, going down to Nashville or Florida did. So
I love that. Sometimes it's easiest to look in your backyards. I know Kelly is an investor in her own backyard. My family and I and my husband all kind of work together with our investments. And I'm in Denver, which is not a great market for us right now with prices. And we started our journey not by looking in our own backyard. And we went with Florida and we weren't really happy how that worked out. And then we were like, why aren't we just looking in the Midwest where you live? So it's amazing what you can realize when you just stop looking around and you look right where you are. So, all right. So you guys have really three portfolios. You've got your individual investment portfolios, and you have the portfolio of properties that you manage through Book and Gather. So can you walk us through kind of what those portfolios look like with size, property type, location, so we can really get to know you as investors and co-hosts or property managers?
Yeah, absolutely. I can take that. So the ones that we own two multifamily properties in Southwest Michigan. Originally, we started with just a single family home, 3,000 square feet, and then we picked up another smaller one initially. But we've since just pivoted more towards multifamily space just because it gives us a lot of versatility in Michigan. We can get big groups. One of our properties will host 34 people in peak season, and then during the off season, we can actually just rent them individually. And a lot of times we'll do midterm rentals through those. So here in Southwest Michigan, we've found that a lot of people, a lot of our bookings are 1 to 2 people. So those condos or the cabins really play well to kind of the midterm space. So we have 1 5 unit and then 1 4 unit. And then in terms of management, we have really a range of properties that go anywhere from 1 bed, 1 bath, all the way up to 7 beds, 6 baths. That's like 5,500 square feet right on Lake Michigan. But again, they're all in the Southwest Michigan area. We really try to focus on properties that are within, call it 90 minutes from Chicago. And that's who we see 80% of our guests are from Chicago. So
One thing I notice is y'all really have a big emphasis on Michigan lakeshore rentals. And it seems like your peak season is 3 months out of the year. So what are you, is it mainly midterm the remainder of the year, or there's still a decent amount of short-term mixed in there? So how do you balance the strategies, and why was lakeshore such a big focus?
Yeah, lakeshore for us was pretty important just because we really started in the Michigan area looking at inland lakes. One, we continued to get no, they're not allowed. And so we just kept looking. And honestly, we kind of fell into this one. My wife found a place over on the lakeshore area. And I think we were all like, okay, where the heck is this? Never heard of this town. It's a very small town. And the property was just really cool, already kind of set up like a short-term rental. It had one of the coolest fire pits, had a sauna and a hot tub. So that kind of caught our attention. But once we started looking at the inland lakes, like if you wanted to be on a lake, you're going to pay anywhere from $700,000 to $800,000 to be on the lake. And then the rents just aren't going to really justify that purchase price. So $700,000 and you'd get maybe $500 a night in peak season. But here on the Southwest Michigan lakeshore area, you don't even have to be on the lake to be able to get anywhere from $500 to $800 a night. In our first rental property, we were blown away. Like we would have never been, thank God we were using dynamic pricing, because we would have never been smart enough to set the price at what it was. But I mean, we paid $380 for it. And we got all the way up to $1,650 a night. And again, this place isn't on the lake. It was a 1930s house. Kitchen wasn't amazing, but people were, you know, paying a premium for properties by Lake Michigan. So that's kind of what drew us to that.
I love how you guys have also taken a really, really strong short-term rental market, but it's a very seasonal market you guys are in. So you've really created the hybrid between the short-term and the midterm, which I think is a really kind of hot and interesting strategy right now as people are trying to balance both of them and kind of the strengths and challenges of both, but especially in a market like the one you guys are at where you can get those really high nightly rates for certain times of the year, but it might not happen. You know, well, it's clearly not going to happen year round in such a seasonal place. So I think that's really, really great that you've done that. I'm sure we'll dig into that a little bit more later. But you guys have chosen for your management company the name Book and Gather. So I think that's really cool. And I'm really interested in where that came from and the roots behind that, because it's a little bit different and it makes you kind of think, you're like, Book and Gather, like, so just kind of tell us a little bit more, because I think the more we get to know you, it really does reflect how you guys run things.
Let's see if Jordan actually remembers where it came from, because he'll be in trouble if he doesn't.
It almost sounds like you're like a squirrel, like you're going to like hunt and gather, but you're not hunting. You're booking.
Yeah, so it's funny. I actually am involved with a men's ministry, and part of what we do, we have a meeting we call Gather, and we just get together and worship and do different things. And so we were bouncing all these different ideas. And you two have started businesses before, I would assume. It's hard to find a name that isn't taken. So we have these great ideas, and then you look and see what's available. And so I threw out, hey, I'd love to figure out how we can institute Gather. It just has this welcoming connotation to it. And especially for, we're really targeting properties that could host bigger groups. And when you think about going on vacation, you're gathering with family and friends and those types of things. So we had some conversations about how to use that. And then I forget, it was probably Lindsay. I feel like Lindsay's always coming up with good ideas, but I can't remember where Book and Gather came from. I just remember Gather. So Tony's going to have to finish the rest of it.
You know, I was going to give all props to your wife, because I'm pretty sure your wife had a big impact. I thought she had mentioned, hey, Gather's got to be in there, probably from conversations between the two of you, but she was definitely the one that said it needs to have Gather in there. So then we just figured the rest out after that.
Sounds like you both have great wives. So that's always a good plus. And I really like the name Book and Gather, because it doesn't say it's about the area. It says, hey, we've created this home for you to come and share an experience with your family and really just get to build relationships with those you're traveling with in the space where you're staying. And I think, you know, with the sauna and the hot tub and all the additional features, that's a big push right now for rentals to make it more of a unique experience than just another place to stay. Two questions. One, how do y'all make your properties stand out and set them apart for that Book and Gather experience? And two, I'm curious what the maintenance upkeep is for a sauna versus a hot tub.
Today's episode is proudly sponsored by Furnished Finder, the ultimate platform for hassle-free midterm rentals. Whether you're a seasoned landlord or just getting started, Furnished Finder has everything you need to find your next tenant. With Furnished Finder, you can say goodbye to booking fees, markups, and commissions, and hello to direct bookings. If you're ready to experience all the benefits renting your property for 30 days or more, head over to furnishedfinder.com, where you can list your property for one low annual price. We make it easy to get started.
In terms of making it a great space, I mean, honestly, what we've found, and we've tried to do some ourselves, me and my wife will go set some up and we're okay at it. But honestly, bring in the professionals, pay for somebody to do it. We've found some people that are local that they'll give us a fee amount, and then they'll tell us how much they think it'll cost to furnish it. And then we say, almost any fee they mention is worth the work that they're going to do, because they'll hang the pictures, they'll get the furniture assembled. So it is worth their weight in gold to outsource that to the professionals. And it really does make a big difference.
One of the other things that we worked at is, you're trying to figure out what is drawing people to the areas that they're coming. And to a certain extent, how can you make your property a destination? And so what are the things that we feel like we would enjoy, our friends would enjoy, our families would enjoy in kind of implementing those types of activities into what the properties are? So, you know, one of our properties, we were really trying to figure out, it's a beach town, South Haven, Michigan. Most people are coming in the summer months to go enjoy being outside. And so it's a 5-cabin property. And so, I'm sorry, 4-cabin property. And so we were trying to figure out, okay, it's really cool. It's a little bit outside of the downtown area of South Haven. So we're not getting like a premium based on you can walk to the beach. You still have to drive to town. And so it's like, what else can we do that is going to get people to say, hey, we can drive 5 minutes to go to the beach and have this private cool experience. So we added a pickleball court there at that particular property. And so that's, I think, something that we spend a lot of time on it with each one of our properties is how can we use what we have at our disposal there, and what are the investments we can make to offer something that no one else has. And so I think, as far as I know from the conversations we've had, we were one of the first to have a private pickleball court installed at the property specifically for vacation rentals. So
I have yet to try pickleball. I've got to get to this.
It's fun.
I'm gonna try out the pickleball. It sounds fun. Maybe I'll find some time. Right now it's too darn cold out in Denver to do that. So the sauna or the hot tub sounds more like my jam right now in this weather. So guys, tell us about those and maintaining those. And I would also like to know, on the flip side, when you transition these to midterm rentals, do you keep the hot tub on? Because I would, that for me might have some challenges that comes with it.
Yeah. So sauna maintenance has been like zero issues, just more on the cleaning side. There's certain products that we use to sanitize and clean those. So the maintenance has been like zero. Obviously over time, something might pop up, but in terms of a hot tub, there's a lot of maintenance. We typically will just outsource that to a professional service company. We think that helps reduce liability, and they maintain it on a regular basis. And that can be as much as, I think it's upwards of $500 a quarter. So it is a big expense, but I do think hot tubs are going to be a bigger draw than the sauna, unless you get some really, there's some pretty cool saunas out there, the barrel saunas with the glass door. We don't have those yet, but I think those could probably be a pretty big draw. But hot tubs are definitely a bigger draw here, definitely in the off season. And then, do we keep them open during midterm rentals? We do, only because we found that it's just as expensive to shut it down, winterize it, because we'll outsource that to a professional company too. And you're like, okay, I just paid $800 to shut it down, and I could have just maintained it for, you know, the extra couple $100. So, yep, we keep them up and running. We don't necessarily advertise them to the midterms. Maybe we should. But yeah.
Especially since they're staying longer. So what about the pickleball court? How much did it cost to put in the pickleball court, and have you seen it pay off yet?
So the pickleball court was $20,000, and that was with the net, the painting, the concrete. Looks really good. They did a great job on that. And currently, so between the two, we try to match them up against each other to see how they're doing. And pickleball is definitely outperforming in 2024 currently. The other one that doesn't even have a yard really outperformed last year. So it'll be interesting to see where it shakes out. But yeah, so far it's definitely one of our biggest pre-booking ones. And it's a little surprising. Again, it's kind of on the outside of a beach town. There's a lot of nice beach houses. You can walk to the beach, walk downtown. But we're getting a lot of bookings going into next year already at a very premium rate. And currently has our biggest record booking. So we're pretty excited about what's possible for that property. And we intend to do a couple more tweaks to it. And hopefully we can just keep driving the revenue up on that one.
That's awesome. I think you've definitely hit a sweet spot with having the right properties and the right amenities, even if you're not right on the lake, right? I know our family's been looking for a place in San Diego for next summer for a family trip, but we're looking for somewhere that can host 6 adults and 4 kids and be somewhat accessible when you're talking about like handicapped accessibility and, you know, four kids. They're younger, not super, you know, not babies and toddlers, but we definitely don't want them, you know, jumping off stairs or anything like that. And we've had a really hard time finding somewhere that's kind of like the prime area, like right on Mission Bay or something like that, that has like parking or has air conditioning or has, you know, enough space. They have enough beds, but maybe not enough space. So I think that does force a lot of people to kind of look at that. Okay, maybe I'm not going to be right there. I'm going to be next to it, or I'm going to be a quick drive or a walk or something. So there's a market for everything, right? You just have to learn your customer and learn how to talk to them. So, all right. So we would love to know how you guys balance your midterm strategies with your short-term strategies. And for your personal and properties and the ones you manage, for pricing, kind of with short-term and with long-term. I know you said you use a dynamic pricing tool, but probably more specific to midterm since that's our focus here. How do you guys price these larger properties or these properties with more amenities during the off season for a midterm stay?
So Tony can speak a little bit more in depth, but I think what we found largely with our, so the first two that we own, excuse me, one of them was larger, had an outbuilding that you could use year round, a lot more amenities. That was the one with the sauna and the hot tub. And then we had a little 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom. And what we found was that the larger one, we were still, even in the off season, we were able to get a nightly premium that was enough to justify continuing to use it for short term vacation rental through the winter. But the smaller one, you know, if you're only getting $150 a night and it's rented on the weekends, we found we were much better off finding a midterm that would pay a higher premium than we were able to get nightly on the weekends. So that was kind of what led us, I think, initially to attempt for some of the midterm stays. But as far as pricing them, Tony can comment more in depth on that.
Yeah, honestly, so going into September, we'll try to have them priced a little bit higher. And then, because we'll still get a lot of weekend bookings and we have a good like wine tour season here. So we'll price them a little bit higher on the midterm just so that, hey, maybe somebody's looking to book 2 or 3 months out and then we can kind of lock that up at a higher rate. But as we get closer to when it really starts to slow down, which is like December 1st, December 15th, we'll start missing some weekends. Otherwise we get weekend bookings pretty much the whole time. But, I can't remember if I told you, but we have a nuclear plant that is like 5 miles from us and they will actually bring in 500 contractors from all over the United States into this small town and they all need housing. So we kind of stumbled and lucked out, with the nuclear plant. And I don't think a lot of people think about that, but all these nuclear plants do the same thing where they shut down and they bring contractors in. So that's been huge for us. And then, you know, the 3-bed, 2-bath, we just got one the other day and that's going to be, hey, they're selling their house. They're looking and they're building the house, but there's going to be a gap. So that's where the family comes in. But historically in our area, we're getting a lot of 1 to 2 people. And we do get some medical professionals that are also traveling.
Good. I was actually talking about this with someone yesterday and it was like, if you're going to do the short-term, midterm hybrid with a property that will still book occasionally in the off season, you have to almost flip the switch. Right? Like, because like you said, if you get random weekend bookings, like that's going to eliminate such a large portion of your calendar from a midterm. So, I think how you guys are doing it is smart is you're taking those smaller properties and saying, okay, you're going to switch those. Those are going to be midterm for the season. But you always have that option with those larger properties. And I think that can tie in well with, like you said, that nuclear plant that's in the area. That speaks to that you have to know your area and you have to know what's going on. You're not going to be browsing Zillow and a note's not going to pop up that says, hey, did you know that there's a nuclear plant in this area and they bring in 500 contractors every year? Like that's not going to happen. But if you know your area or you have a real estate agent, partner, property manager, whatever that knows the area, you can get those insights. And that's where you can really help to fill those larger properties from a midterm standpoint is those insights and those things that you know about your market better than anyone else. So I love how you've done that. I think you've got to put some of those strategies into place to really have the best hybrid approach to those two, right? So I see on your website, one thing that you offer clients is a free property evaluation. So tell us kind of what you're looking at when you're evaluating a property and then what you're able to share with those evaluations you give interested people.
Hey, landlords, are you ready to level up your rental game and simplify your midterm rental business? Well, get ready to meet your new best friend, KeyCheck. KeyCheck is your all-in-one solution for stress-free property management. With tenant-paid screenings, online rent payment processing, custom lease creation, and a suite of incredible landlord tools, you'll wonder how you ever lived without it. No more chasing down checks or sifting through piles of applications. KeyCheck helps you organize and manage all things landlording in a simple and efficient way. Make landlord life a breeze with KeyCheck, the game changer for modern property owners. Visit KeyCheck.com to unlock the power of stress-free property management and take your rental business to new heights.
So now that we've picked up and are managing quite a few properties in the area and got a really good feel for properties, a client will go on, they'll fill out that form, they'll send us their address, and then we'll use the different tools. Obviously, one of the big tools in the market is AirDNA, and that'll be, hey, this is the projected revenue for that particular area. And then we'll just kind of look at, hey, what kind of amenities does it have? How many does it sleep? Could we potentially sleep more based on the setup of that particular property? And then, yeah, so we'll just kind of project out what we think the occupancy will be, what we think is possible from a midterm and a short-term rental standpoint. And then we'll just compile that and send that to them with just a rough projection of what the gross rents would be for the year.
Yeah, we also approach it similar to evaluating property as a real estate agent, as far as what are we comparing ourselves to. So, once we come up with the nightly rate and some of those types of things, we do some enemy research to see, okay, if we're trying to get $800 a night in the summer, what are we up against, and what are the things that these people can do to add value to the market, and what are the amenities that they need to add to be competitive to make sure that they're really the best in the market. And so a lot of times when we've had these conversations with people, they've already purchased a property and it's too late for us to really help them because they're kind of stuck with what they have. Right. So we've had several times where people come to us with these properties and, you know, they really unfortunately didn't ask all the right questions before they made the purchase. But in most cases, even if they have, once they own it, we're just trying to figure out what do they do to make it better than the competition.
So one thing that we're doing on the Landlord Diary, since we have this opportunity to hear midterm rental stories from all over the nation, and there is a rare breed out there of both realtors or brokers that also property manage, that gives midterm rental investors the opportunity to truly be passive. So if that's something that you're interested in, just know on YouTube, we have a playlist created called Realtors and Property Managers or something to that nature, where if you're looking for a team to work with that can be the full service from helping you purchase the right midterm rental property to managing it as well, then Tony and Jordan's episode will be on that playlist. We've got a Florida episode, an Austin, Texas episode. So we're building that so that you guys have a lot of opportunity of who you might want to work with around the country. And one thing that you guys say is that you have transparent fees. And having worked with management companies before on long-term rentals, I can see how valuable that would be. And we all have heard there's a lot of bad management companies out there. So how do you guys build that trust and ensure that you're going to take care of your clients' properties well, especially with short-term renters coming in that don't necessarily get background checks, where midterm renters, you can screen them, you can run through applications, you can have conversations with them first. So what does that transparent fees look like in building that trust with your clients?
Yeah, so the biggest thing is just for us, it's a flat fee. We charge 20% to the homeowners. And then I know a lot of people, let's say if I have to buy a new set of plates and put that into somebody's house, a lot of times people are either marking that up or they're marketing the management or the
what is it? The maintenance, the repairs, they're marking that up for us. We're billing at cost, whether it's cleaning or the repairs, we're billing at cost. So for us, it's just that 20% fee at the end of the day. And, you know, just really try to keep it
That's
simple
really nice.
And then not have any hidden fees in there.
We've also really done as much as we can to mitigate our clients' risk. So you mentioned the way that short-term renters sometimes treat properties. And I will say that we've overall had very few issues with people damaging houses. And quite frankly, one of the reasons we're moving towards more of the higher end homes is because, you know, the more somebody's paying nightly, the less likelihood of having a bunch of people just throw a crazy party and trash the place. But mitigating those risks with clients through the insurance that we sell, through the platforms that we book on, and making sure that as much coverage as we can towards those repairs aren't being billed out of our clients' pockets. And I would say, you know, we probably pay help too much with a lot of the clients that we have. Of when there's issues, you know, we've split costs of repairs. We've done a lot to make sure that they're not feeling the full brunt of some of those unfortunate situations as they arise.
While we're already on this topic, let's go ahead and dive in a little bit deeper. You've covered damage and liability a bit, but you also talk about five risks of furnished rentals and how to mitigate them, and how municipalities and income volatility and economic fluctuation are impact that as well. So how can you speak to those?
Yeah, so the big thing for us, obviously, on the midterm side is making sure you're doing the background check that you guys already mentioned, but then also just making sure you're filling out the appropriate paperwork, the leases. Different places have different things that you got to fill out. So making sure you're doing that. And then in terms of like the municipalities and stuff, we always like to go into it, and we like to tell our clients to going into it knowing that, hey, if we can find something that might actually work on the long-term side and will definitely work on the short-term side, you know, you and then in the midterm, so you can have all these different varieties, right? Long-term is kind of like worst case scenario, but we always like to be able to do midterm in that area as kind of a backup plan to short-term, right? So, for us, it's just making sure that the property that our clients get or that we get has a lot of versatility during the year, or even if short terms get shut down, which a lot of places for us in Southwest Michigan are actually banning short terms or not letting new short terms rent. So for us, it's always looking at that midterm type of stay and making sure that there's viable options in that area. And again, in Southwest Michigan, the nuclear plant is a big thing, and we get a lot of people that are coming for medical stuff as well. So there's a lot of great options in the Southwest Michigan area. So that would just be kind of one of the ways that we really help protect clients in that way, is just making sure that there is a great midterm strategy, because short term's not guaranteed.
I love that. I'm gonna drop a shameless plug here. Because I know a lot of times, especially if you're coming from the short-term world or you're doing a hybrid situation, you know, you're used to the short-term rental platforms. It's kind of everything is taken care of in once, and midterm is a different world, right? Where you're doing direct bookings. And oftentimes we get landlords who, they say, okay, I found my tenant. Now what? Right. And we at Furnished Finder, we have a sister company that we made specifically for this reason called KeyCheck. KeyCheck.com. And I'm dropping the shameless plug because it is a great product, and there's a lot of uses for it where you can make sure like your lease is legal. You can get renter's insurance if you need your renter to have insurance. You can get the e-sign. You can get it's really like the whole toolbox that you can use that makes it so you can be just as efficient as if you are on the short-term side. So I just wanted to drop that because I know a lot of people, when they are kind of flexing between the two strategies, you know, you get in midterm and you're like, okay, I found my tenant, but like, now what? And it almost feels like you're like left at sea, and it's like, no, we got you. It's just, you know, it's a sister company, because at Furnished Finder, we want you to really be able to book however you want to book. And if you already have systems, fantastic. If not, KeyCheck is there as a great option. So,
do you have lease templates there, or somebody?
Yeah, and they're all state specific too, which is really cool, and you can customize them. Which I know Kelly and I use the customization pretty heavily, because we all have different. Like if you had a rule about the sauna or the hot tub, like you could put that in there and have it be a part of the lease. So that's something that has always been a big hit with me. I'm like, okay, I can add my own rules. Like you have to make sure they're legal, and yeah, you have to still obey like fair housing, everything like that. Right. Like you can't go crazy, but if you have specific pet rules, or like I always put in my leases, like there are absolutely no candles. Right.
Yeah. Like I'm the so addendums. Sorry.
Right. Like you cannot. So little things like that, that people worry about when you have a tenant in there a little bit longer, just gives you that extra layer of comfort.
Yeah. So. And that seems like that's a great option, because it seems like most people will just go into a random like Facebook group or something and say, hey, what are you guys using? And that's probably not the best way to do it. So it sounds like you guys already kind of got that all compiled and ready to go for people. So really sounds like the easy button.
Yeah, it totally is the easy button. And I feel like not enough people know about it. So I'm like, it's an awesome tool. And it's also one that we're always working to improve, which is another cool thing that we're working on over here. So, all right, let's dig back in. I wanted to talk about, you have a blog post and it's all about three ways to get more midterm rentals during the off season, which sounds so helpful, especially for anyone who's looking to get into one of these really seasonal markets. So talk to us about what those three ways are that you guys have found to be successful to find more midterm rentals during the off season.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, the big one is going to be Furnished Finder. So that's something that we've been doing for a couple years now. And I can't remember, I think I mentioned our best midterm rental came from Furnished Finder, and it was a insurance claim. So it's great that it seems like all the insurance placement people use Furnished Finder to locate the properties. So that one's been great. That's definitely, if you're not on Furnished Finder, make sure you're on Furnished Finder. And then the other one, we've built up a database of realtors. Obviously, realtors are familiar with people that are buying and selling. And like I said, the one that we have going in our 3-bed, 2-bath right now is somebody that's selling their house. They have a gap between the time that their house is being done, and then so we're able to get some leads through that method. And you know, really the other one is just word of mouth. We've got quite a few people that just know that we're in that area and that we have a lot of different places. So making sure that we just really talk to a lot of people, network with people in the area, and just kind of put the word out of what we have available. And, you know, it's crazy. The longer you're in it, it's just kind of like a flywheel. The longer you're in it, the more people know they can go to you for housing as well. So
definitely. Well, let's dive in a little bit deeper on the Furnished Finder side. Our furnishedfinder.com/stats is a very popular page, because if you're looking for your next investment or you're looking for your first investment, it's a nationwide page that allows you to see how much midterm rental traffic is coming to that area. And everyone, it's a very broad overview of who, you know, the traffic that comes to that specific city that you're searching, but everyone kind of takes that information and processes it differently for their businesses. And I think you've made a list of like the top 50, and you've got a way of analyzing the stats for Michigan. So I want to hear more about your analysis.
Yeah. So the big thing for us was, hey, what's the top 50 markets in Michigan? And then I literally went to each one of those and just took all the stats out of Furnished Finder /stats and put those in there. So really what we're looking for is the search results are very large, but then the actual offerings, the available houses, and we look for whole houses because we haven't really ventured into the individual rooms yet, but whole houses, and then also that piece of the pie that shows, I believe, 2,500 plus. We want that to be a large portion of the pie. So we compiled all that. I'll have to go back, but I created some kind of formula and basically filtered it and found kind of these are what I would think would be the best places just based on those different metrics there. And again, a lot of it's going to be based on the search volume and then the available properties as well as the ones that go over 2,500. Again, for us, it's we want to see a large portion above that 2,500, but then also affordability, right? I mean, I guess if you're getting 2,500 plus per month, but the average home price is quite large, then it probably wouldn't work out.
And one more aspect of your facts that I thought was pretty cool that you analyzed is like you actually operate a lot of your midterm rentals in smaller towns. Like one of them is a town of 10,000. And you also look at how many hotels are in the area to balance out, you know, are they going to need more midterm stays because there's not enough hotels to cover the traffic coming in? So how does that portion work for you? Because a lot of people get nervous about smaller or mid-sized towns because they think there won't be enough business.
Yeah. So the interesting thing is I know a lot of people talk about having kind of those extended stay hotels and stuff like that. In our small town, we have a lot of nightly hotels where they don't have the fully furnished or like a kitchenette or anything like that. They're just all regular hotels, which kind of is a great thing because a lot of people don't necessarily want to stay in those for extended periods of time. We've encountered quite a few people that they'll reach out via Furnished Finder and say, hey, I've been staying in this hotel, you know, for 35 days. I'm over it. I need a place to stay that actually has a little bit more space and just feels a little more like home.
It's that ratio, right? And you can find that, like you said, on the Furnished Finder stats page. And I think it's cool because you have to look at that stats page and kind of extrapolate what works for you, right? Like you said, like looking at the room rental supply and demand doesn't really apply to you guys. So you've got to take that and really kind of put on the glasses of whatever eyes you're trying to look at it through and take away the value. But it's such a helpful page. I know Kelly and I even still use it like all the time. It's got such good gems on it, but you got to dig in there a little bit. Don't be afraid to get in there. And like those smaller towns, sometimes they have different drivers that are really bringing travelers in for different reasons, whether it's, there is something like a nuclear plant, right, on a smaller basis, but something that's driving people there and they need housing, right? So it does not have to be a gigantic city.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about our area is like, we look at it all the time and the number of houses that actually come up for sale, there's just not any inventory. So even a lot of people just need, again, housing for, we've had people move from New Mexico and they're waiting till they find the house that they want. And it can take a while based on just the amount of inventory that comes out on the market. So we've had 6 month stays just from people relocating to these small areas that just maybe don't have enough inventory to supply that need.
Yeah, I would that's kind of a little bit of the cheat code to how we ended up investing in this area is, when we originally started out, Tony mentioned, we were looking in Gatlinburg and Florida and all these places that anyone anywhere in the country can name, right? And I kind of where we landed with it was, if you can name it as a destination, it's probably really expensive. And there's also a lot of competition. So you pay a premium to buy into it. And then you have tons of competition that you're competing with to get, you know, nightly rates and the amount of nights you're booked for the year. So some of these small areas can be little gems where people are still traveling there and they have a demand, but the supply that's there isn't great. It's not as competitive. You know, when we looked at the enemy profile, when we bought our first one, one of the pictures in the listing that they had was some dude bending over in a garden. It's like, this is what we're up against. Like we can do really well here. And so, you know, some of those outlying areas aren't nearly as competitive. So if you come in and you really have a property that's nice and well put together, you know, it's going to get attention, attract more of the type of people that can pay a little bit higher rate. So we love the outlying areas. We're trying to find some other ones.
Love it. Well, Katie, any last questions before I wrap up with our final one?
No, I think this has been such a great conversation. I've just loved digging into the hybrid approach because it's such a hot topic right now, especially with, you know, the supply of short-term rentals really high after the pandemic and travelers kind of settling into what's new, midterms on the rise, but balancing these seasonal markets and maybe, like you said, Jordan, these markets that you can't name but still have really good traffic. I think you guys have brought a lot of value and are really wise in your strategy here.
Definitely. Well, let's wrap up with a fun one. We know that you guys both have a real estate brokerage and are the property managers as well. So if someone is looking in the Michigan area, what are some like hot spots that you recommend them investing and how can they reach out to you guys if they want to connect about further conversations?
Yeah. So, you know, the just from the midterm standpoint, so I operate my business out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. So second largest city in Michigan. And there are, you talk about industry and we got Amazon, we got hospitals, we've got a ton of different businesses that are just worldwide companies that are in little old Grand Rapids, Michigan. So the midterm market here is growing very quickly. And we're seeing a lot more demand here in the greater Grand Rapids area for midterm. So if you're looking specifically for midterm rentals, this is a great market. Prices are affordable compared to a lot of the other mid-sized markets in the U.S. And I would say for the short-term would be more along the lakeshore. But there are some other areas that have been surprising on the other side of the state. Particularly that are around the Ann Arbor area that are doing really well. And there's just a bunch of little pockets that you've probably never heard of that you can do well in. So, you know, Tony, do you have anything to add? I think the midterm, it gets more difficult in a lot of the areas that are popular where it's really, really hot in the summer and then desolate in the winter. So what do you have to add to that, Tony?
Yeah, I would just say, we're big fans of Southwest Michigan, and there's also some big developments that are supposed to be happening in Northern Indiana. So that puts us, even Southwest Michigan, relatively close for those. So we're always looking at, especially on the midterm side, like where are there going to be tons of contractors coming in, maybe engineers coming? So there is some big developments. I think the biggest development in Indiana history is supposed to be happening in Northern Indiana. Obviously, until they start breaking ground and stuff, that's, you know, it is what, you know, it's just hearsay till then. But I mean, they signed it and they're supposed to be moving forward with it. So we're always just looking for where's there going to be some big developments. And, you know, again, Southwest Michigan seems to be a big area that can help support some of that. So yeah, we haven't found any as good as Southwest Michigan yet, but we are looking. And again, I think if I was searching for midterms across country, I'm looking for nuclear plant, like five hospitals, you know, would be my my target.
Okay, guys. Well, how would you like people to connect with you?
Yeah, you can reach out to us on Book and Gather. You can go to the site, bookandgather.com. You can email me, tony@bookandgather, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, Tony Stancato on LinkedIn. You can connect with Jordan on LinkedIn as well. So we're pretty active on the LinkedIn space.
Awesome. Well, we really appreciate you guys coming and sharing your Michigan stories today. We're trying to cover at least one story in every 50 states, and we're doing pretty darn good. So thanks for sharing your Michigan story today about midterm rentals. And if you're loving our show, don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, or share it with a friend. Thank you so much. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.